Today's sermon comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 13, and I call it Good Stewardship. Let's read the scriptures. And he said also unto his disciples, There was a rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. I cannot beg. I'm ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I put out of the stewardship, they may receive me in their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first man, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Well, take thy bill and set it down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, How much owest thou? He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you in everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in the which is at least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust is in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore if ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful unto which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either one will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So here it starts in Luke 16. Jesus told the disciples that there was a certain rich man who had a steward who was accused in making that he was wasting his goods. And the rich man called the steward unto him and said, What is it I hear of you? Render account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer steward. And we have to look at this from the eyes of the Lord, because he's telling us, but the Lord, of course, will be the rich man in the story. And all of us are the stewards. All of us are stewards. Before we go much further, though, we're looking at this, we must tell ourselves and look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, 4 through 5. Paul says, Moreover, it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. That is one big requirement. A steward must be faithful. But Paul also refers to the elders as stewards when he says the bishop should be blameless in God's as God stewards. Then Peter refers to all Christians as stewards when he says that we are stewards of the manifold grace of God. So every Christian fits in there somewhere in manifold grace. Someday we'll be called to the account. Now we're saying Christian, those who start out by repenting, confessing, and been immersed in remission of sins and going around the Lord's table and trying to do their best as a Christian, they fit somewhere in that manifold grace. And someday the call will come through them loud and clear, as found in this chapter. Render account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer a steward. You may be an atheist, but you're also responsible for the gifts God has given to you. You may be a Christian, but you're still responsible to God. God will demand an accounting. He said, render account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer a steward. God will ask what we have done with what belongs to Him. He'll ask us, what are you doing with my church? What have you done with my Bible? What have you done with the talent I gave you? What have you done with the money I gave you? What have you done with the opportunities I gave you? Render account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer a steward. Now, the steward in the story begins to talk to himself, or thinking to himself. He said, What shall I do, seeing I'm about to be fired? I have no strength to dig. I have no strength to beg. I'm shamed. I'm too old to get a job anywhere else. I'm not old enough to draw Social Security, ha ha. And he looked at that, and he only had three choices. He said he could dig, beg, or steal. And he chose the latter. He called each of the master's debtors. They probably learned it, learned fear to come in. They thought maybe he's going to foreclose on them. But he came in, the steward, no doubt, asked about his wife and his kids. And he might say, oh, they're doing good. Junior's playing football in college, plays fullback, you know. And that's fine. Now about this little indebtedness. How much owest thou unto my Lord? Down quickly and write 50. This is my guess. The creditor may nervously say, 100 measures of oil. And the steward said, take thy bond and set and down and write 900 gallons of oil. Second came in, same question was asked. The answer, 100 measures of wheat. Take thy bond and write 80. That would be about 1,100 bushels of wheat. So two of his creditors are mentioned here, but we can see with what kind of program, if he called in about a dozen more and offered the same deal, he was going to be rich. We've got to stop here and note something here, though. That there are a lot of unjust stewards in the Lord's service. Some preachers are always lowering the standards. How much owest thou unto the Lord? The book says, repent and be immersed for the remission of sins. The creditor thinks, that's a little high. And he fidgets around, and then the unjust preacher says, well, take thy bond and sit down quickly and write faith only. The other comes in, the same deal. How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, let me see. The book says, they went down to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he immersed him. And the creditor fidgets, and again the unjust preacher says, tell them what I'll do. I'm a good fellow. I like to get along with everybody. Take thy bond and sit down quickly and write this. As they went down into the water, and he sprinkled them. Perhaps another comes. How much owest thou, the book says, and upon the first day of the week? No, alas, forget it. I want to do it anytime I want to. Take thy bond and sit down quickly and write upon the first day of the week. Once a month, we're gathered together to break bread, and also one worldwide communion Sunday. And for all those who want to have Saturdays off for the Egyptian activities, I really meant to say Sundays, the Lord's Supper is on Saturday, would be just fine. One day, these unjust preachers and our stewards, really, will hear the voice of the Master. Render an account of thy Master. Render an account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer a steward. So notice the question again, how much? How much owest thou unto my Lord for the good fortune you have of having this gospel unto you, preaching to you purity from your preacher? How much owest thou unto my Lord for the good health you have enjoyed for these years? How much owest thou unto my Lord for the job you have and the 10,000 other things? How much owest thou unto my Lord in the money? How much owest thou unto my Lord in time? How much owest thou unto my Lord in talent? How much owest thou unto my Lord in service? How much owest thou unto my Lord? See, when the master heard what he had taken place, surprisingly he commended the unjust steward because he had just done it wisely. The Lord was not condoning what he had done, but he was amazed at how clever this pastor, soon to be a pastor, was. Now many times we do the same. We hear someone who has embezzled thousands of dollars, and we marvel at the intelligence of such a person. How'd he get at that? How about, several years ago, One man stole $500,000, got into a jetliner, had a parachute on, jumped out over the mountains in the western state. He was never heard of again. No one knows whether he lived or died, but he could be out there somewhere enjoying his ill-gotten gain. But now, you know, out west every year, there's a group of people who get together and celebrate what he did. They drink a toast to him and wish him well. I don't know whether any of them would do the same thing, but they surely do admire what he did. We can help but marvel at the talent of some people to pull off such a scam. Think of the tremendous talent that some people have to sing, and they never sing. Think how tremendous talent some people have to act, and they never act. Right, and they have laid down their gifts at the feet of the devil. Jesus told the disciples, "The sons of this world are wiser for their generation than the sons of light." You know, I read a story about a really famous quarterback, one of the top college teams. And during the summer, he passed the football at least 100 times every day through an automobile tar that was swinging from the tree back and forth, back and forth. And he made sure he could do it through that hole 100 times. I wonder what happened if that members of the body of Christ would put that same dedication into the work of Christ. What marvels would they be if some Christians can work so hard to be the top sinners, earthly things that may be all right in themselves? How come that the dedication is not spent in memorizing scriptures or in some area of excellence in the work of the Master? Some people choose the path of a fool and work like crazy and like crazy at it, whatever it might be, and some choose the right path and act like fools, not working at all. Remember, you're a steward, and you will be given account. Jesus will say, "Render account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer a steward." Now, Jesus gives some advice to his disciples. He told them to make themselves friends of the unrighteous mammon, that when it shall fail, they will be received unto the eternal tabernacles. He said, the unrighteous mammon will fail, and you can be sure of that. There will be some time when some money will fail. Think of all the rich people you have heard about, or also including the billionaires. How much did they take with them when they died? It will fail. We all heard that joke, you know, you'd never see a Brinks truck or a money truck in a funeral procession. So it's wisely now that when it does fail you, you receive unto him the eternal tabernacles. Now this statement of Jesus demands our attention. He says, thou canst be no longer steward. That statement will come to us all sooner or later. And it could and will come in various ways and at various times. Thou canst be no longer steward. I can think of about 7 reasons for it to come when it does. Let's look at those one at a time. First one, I thought it was old age because of me. There was time in this phone was constantly ringing. There were sermons to get up, lessons to prepare, calls to be made, people to see, and now those demands are no longer there. No longer is the phone ringing and calling in and say, come hold me a revival. Come speak for this event or that. Infirmity of age will make it impossible to respond to such invitations. But now the same is true with any phase of the Master's service. There will come a time, perhaps gradually, but you will hear eventually, render an account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer steward. See, we got to do something here. We need to have proper respect for the aged. We're all getting there already. But particular times they have had what to survive depression, maybe a disease like polio, several wars. We've seen all kind of wars. I was born in World War II, but then I knew about the Korean War and the Cuba deal years ago, and then, of course, Vietnam, and then all the raids we had on certain countries. You know, it's just many dangers too numerous to mention. A great many folks will never make it to old age. They will hear that age of the master long before the old age. One of the great things about our faithful servant of God in old age, we look back and remember that when it was young, or when he was young or she was young, gives you strength to do the Lord's work. He can rejoice, or she can say that he or she gave its best shot. Whether you give it your best shot or not, too many in old age, the message will come through loud and clear. Render an account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer a steward. And again, it comes to those in the area, my second one, lost influence. Almost monthly, we hear some servant of God who has fallen into immortality and is forced out of a particular ministry. Others may be involved in the same problem and never get caught at it. Immorality pulls a lot of people away. But one way or the other, the message is heard, thou canst be in no longer a steward. They may repent, though. He may be forgiven. He may even go to heaven, or she. God's grace is still there, but his influence is gone. People always remember. Maybe they shouldn't, but they will, and there's always no use fighting it. When I was working secular work, I always kept a sign behind my head in the office, and it says, when I'm right, nobody remembers. But when I'm wrong, nobody forgets. And that's how people are. A nail may be pulled out of a board, but the scar will always remain. Excuse me. For many of us, we only get one chance. It's not three strikes and you're out. It's one strike and you're out of the ball game. Maybe this is how it should be. But it teaches us who are in spiritual dealing spiritual things to know that the precious gospel is held in an earthen vessel. Paul talks about the vessel breaking. The devil knows now that a woman is the best tool to lead a man to hell. The devil knows that a woman is the best tool to lead a man out of any successful ministry. And many elders or other spiritual leaders have also heard the message, thou canst be no longer a steward. True, he may not run out of town, but his influence is gone because of the indifference to his duties or his lifestyle. That's not compatible to the position in the kingdom. Many have heard a message this way. He may have been too deaf to hear it, but it was just the same. Thou canst be no longer steward. But then there's number three, the parents. Now parents, we've got to think about this because we're only limited to the amount of time given to govern our children, to train them. By the time they reach age 18, or they have assumed enough authority of their own, they no longer have to do as their parents say. We'd like for them to. One man told me that his son is a grandfather, and that he would still obey him. And some people always say, well, if you're still living in my home, you're still under my rule. That might be the case, but one thing for sure, he doesn't have to, provided he's 18 or older. If he chooses, he can do as he pleases, or she can do as she pleases. If I say he, I mean mankind. At some moment when the child reaches the maturity, the message is given. It comes through loud and clear. Thou canst be no longer a steward. For some parents, it comes long before 18. I know of some that have no control over their kids at all, and only 10 years old. Some evidently never did have any control from the time the kid was able to go to first grade. Influence was transferred from the home to the school. The message was, even though they may have been too deaf to hear it, thou canst be no longer steward. Now number four is in the area of possessions. Think of all the people you've ever had, and I do the same. Think of all the cars you ever held. Well, I've only owned one new one in 52 years. But Think of the house you live in. Think of all the savings you have ever had and all the money you have ever spent. Then ask yourself, how much of these worldly possessions were given to me because of the service of God? See, if we shortchange God for 20 years, it may be next to impossible to ever catch up with what we have spent on the devil. I can't vouch for the accuracy of it, but I do remember reading how a story about Emperor Charlemagne. Now, Charlemagne, that emperor, he was buried when he died, and was buried not in a shroud, laying down, but sitting on a throne, and had a Bible on the top on his lap, forefinger pointing to the 16th chapter of Matthew, to the verse, "What shall man be profited if it shall gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul?" Be it remembered, you will hear that message regarding your possessions. Render account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer steward. And that message will certainly be heard also now for my fifth one I found, is sickness. Now, I visit a lot of people in the hospital when they've been sick or in their homes through the years. But we always reminded of our mortality at a time of sickness, pain, aches, or a germ. At such a time of a triple bypass or a cancer operation or some other serious sickness, and it's easy then to make promises to God, "Lord, get me out of this and I will make me a better steward." So it's easier to offer a sick body to the Lord than a well one. If we are well and not a thing wrong with us, and the doctor has given us a clean bill of health, we feel confident that we can handle it ourselves. But let a person get down and flat on their back, and then he is reminded that this may be the moment when he will hear, "Render account unto thyself, stewards, for thou canst be no longer steward." Number six that I can find at death. Most of us feel that death is something that happens to everybody else but not us. It may happen to my neighbor, but it won't happen to me. That's the attitude a lot of people have. That's not a very good one. It's an incorrect one. Think about that. When's the last time you heard somebody say that? You know, young people feel as though they will never die. And that, of course, is true. We'll always be conscious, whether in the body or out of the body, but that's not what I meant. I meant I had a feeling that death was not for me physically. Everybody else, yes, but not for me. The young man said he did not think he was going to die ever. He did die. And he was a macho type person. And when he was about 50 years old, he got into a fight with someone 38 years old. He pulled out a 22 or a 38 caliber gun close to his chest, pulled the trigger, he died. Perhaps it's natural for young people, as well as some old feel, to be immortal. That feeling was probably put there by the devil. At least he put it in his mind of Adam and Eve. "Thou shalt not surely die," devil told Eve. But they did. If you've not yet obeyed the terms of the pardon, you better think about it and give a better thought. It may come any day. A message from the Master may come loud and clear. "Render an account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer a steward." Then once more, the last thing I found in number seven, at the return of the Master, the news will come, "Render an account of thy stewardship." Jesus made this prediction about the return. He said, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the Lord hath set over the household to render them their food and in their due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Verily I say unto you, he will set him over all that he had. But that servant shall say unto his heart, My Lord tarrieth, and I shall begin the best he has for his fellow servants. Lord, the servant shall come in a day when he's not expected. It'll be an hour when he thinks not and shall cut him asunder. Shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the Lord comes. A tally will be presented. And that checked it up by my Lord. It's one of the reports or papers or books will be there on Day of Judgment. Listen to Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, according to their works. The books we have are the 66 books of the Bible. It says the books were opened. Only books we have is the Bible. Another book, that's the book of life that Jesus has. And the dead will be judged out of these things which are written in the books according to their works. Their works is being tallied up. He just told us that in this parable. God will have some kind of tally book or a diary or something and be passing out degrees of reward and degrees of punishments. Let's close in prayer.